Like, if you wanted to make it like, oh, he's an upcoming dominant, a race that's really aggressive and they're really, like a young America or something like that.
Right.
You know, you could have done that. But man, you make it sound like the Shi'ar is afraid of this group or something like that.
Even though no one has ever talked about it.
Yep.
Well, that's what makes him so deadly.
All right, guys, welcome back to Collected Issues. This is Mike.
This is Bruce.
And we are here for Session 8. Bruce, Session 8 already? Are we at 8 already?
I know. It's, I don't know what you'd call it. Like, it's some sort of anniversary of some sort.
Yeah.
No, if we're doing these weekly, that means nothing.
That means nothing. And have we generated more than 8 viewers, though, is the thing?
You know, honestly, I haven't looked.
Let's just not care.
I've been busy.
You have been super busy because can you talk about any of the stuff you've kind of done recently about this upcoming thing? We don't have to.
I'm doing some work for a convention in the area.
Yep. We'll keep it vague at best.
I have completed a substantial amount of work for a group of Swedish dentists.
There you go. Making the most, like, cerebral video that I've ever seen out of a 3-minute trailer in my life, you know, or five, whatever it is.
Maybe 2 minutes and 9 seconds.
My God, like, that when you just what they wanted you to do in that thing was crazy.
Yep.
It's so like, man, we're gonna blow people's minds with 2 minutes and 9 seconds.
It's gonna go from the planet into the guy's eyeball and then out.
Then the fish are swimming up the stream. Yeah.
Goddamn fish. Yeah. So I've been busy making money. Woe is me.
That's hey man, you know what? I worked 6 days last week, got 9 hours of overtime. I'm hopefully making some money and life will start getting better.
Another job now.
Yep, I now work. I don't know if we'll really throw it out there, but I work for an auto industry thing, and it's a factory job, you know. And I kind of always never thought I'd work a factory job, but the pay that I have there is really good. My job is not that difficult. There's technique and stuff to learn, but not something that I'm going to kill myself on, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know,
you're not like spot welding or anything, are you?
No. I do end of the line repair for paint.
Huh.
Like when cars come through and they're going through their last checks.
That's weird because you have horrible hands.
That's just rude.
No, I mean, like, I've seen you draw.
Oh yeah, I can't draw for anything. But what I do is I that's why I use tools, Bruce. I have to buff out, like, you know, scuffs and dirt, and if there's like scratches and stuff, we try to sand it down and then send it over for final repair. I like this weekend I worked 6 hours of just straight overtime, and literally the only thing I did is tape up cars. Well, and I'm learning it still.
That's a skill you can use somewhere else too.
Maybe.
No, I mean it is. I mean you're learning how to paint.
Yes. And I've done painting for like houses and stuff before. That was like one of my first jobs when I was a freshman, as I worked for a local painter, and I would go do like I painted an entire side of a building in downtown Dayton one time for the job. It was like, and then, you know, go to housing areas and sandblast and all kind. You know, I've done stuff like this on and off throughout my life. So
okay.
It's not hard work, but it keeps you busy. So I mean, I like it. So
are you? Is your mind going? Are you're constantly thinking? You're figuring this out.
Yeah. My mind's always going right now.
So, some of the other guys I know who have kind of a factory job, it's like they're just standing there.
Nope. I get out onto the line, like that, where the cars are just automatically moving, and I kind of walk with it, and I think about, you know, what angle, you know, like I just try to keep something different, you know what I mean? I'll even just try to shine up the cars a little bit just to keep myself busy or whatever I need to do. The best thing I like about this is that the drives have given me time to think about a lot of different stuff, because I drive not really far. It's a little bit further, but it's about 40 minutes or so. And I came home thinking about like different things with Finite, you know, that we that not that I have anything solid or anything, but just, you know, I think about like the books that I want to work on and things like that. Came up with a crazy space character idea, another space thing that just happened to me. I was listening to a David Bowie song, of all things, too, which kind of leads me into what we were going to talk about, because I've been listening to the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack a lot.
Is that good?
It's very good.
Everyone's talking about it.
You've seen the movie, and I think every one of the songs, except for maybe Spirit in the Sky, is on there. So it's a lot of classic, not necessarily classic, but like little oddities, you know what I mean? That were like fun songs that from the 70s and the 80s. And it's great. Like, it's fun to listen to that Hooked on the Feeling song that they keep using in all the trailers. Yep. Ethan likes to listen to it because at the beginning of the song, it's like, Ooga Chaka, Ooga. There's like this little chanting. And Ethan's always like, play the Ooga Chaka song, Daddy. That's what he wants to hear. And he'll try to sing along with some of it and everything. It's really fun. I mean, it's just, it keeps me awake going to and from work. It's something that, I kind of geek out and I'll sing along with it just to keep myself awake and everything. So.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I think I've listened to the album over 10 times already. Just
now, you actually got around to seeing the movie.
Yeah, that was my whole reason for wanting to get the soundtrack. I went on it was just a week ago, actually, and we went to the drive-in, and we saw – well, it was right after we got off that one podcast with Joe.
Yeah.
I went that night, actually, and we went and saw Turtles. Because it was the first one at the drive-through. Drive-in. I mean, and that's the one thing that's great about drive-ins is that you pay not a lot of money. The kid gets in for free, and you get to see if you want, one to two movies, depending on what you want to stay for and everything. And Turtles was, it was okay. Ethan really liked it. He had a lot of fun with it. So, I mean, for that, that alone was worth it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was kind of generic-y. Even Liz said it was kind of corny in some areas, but she's like, Ethan really liked it, and it was fine. And I mean, it needed more turtle moments, I guess, is the big thing. You know what I mean? There wasn't as much. It seemed very generic action flicky a lot. You know what I mean?
That's disappointing.
It is a little bit, but like I said, Ethan really liked it, so that was kind of worth it alone. And then we pull over to the other side because Guardians of the Galaxy was the whole reason I wanted to go to begin with, even though it was the second showing.
Yeah.
And so. I can't wait to see this movie, and I want to either sit down and watch this on TV like now. Like I told somebody, I would pay $30 to be able to stream it right now forever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just to get an instant watch at my house.
I'm curious to see, because I saw it at a drive-in as well.
Right.
Oddly enough, I'm curious to see what it's like, up close at home without people walking around.
Well, and my mom really wants to see it, and so she's talking about all of us going to see it again. And Liz, that was the funny thing, Liz fell asleep during it because she was just exhausted by that point in time because she started getting stuff prepped up for school last week, and we went on a Friday. And then Ethan watched some of it and didn't watch other parts. He got kind of freaked out at the beginning because the beginning was completely unexpected. Like, I did not expect that. Opening.
Oh, the tragic mother dying scene.
Yeah, that was like, oh god, this is really out of nowhere. You know what I mean? It was really sad. Like, I look over and Liz watched the beginning. She's like pouring tears out of her eyes. Like it struck her hard. You know.
Yeah.
But and this is the other funny thing: as little as Ethan watched, he would remember the music cues in it. So when the first time Hooked on a Feeling came on, when I got the soundtrack, he was like, "Are we gonna go see the space movie again, Dad? Because I want to see it now." And I'm like, "Wow, you are my son. You know these things."
Was he awake long enough for Rocket and Groot to make their appearance?
I don't know. He was on and off, and a lot of times he was playing the iPad because there were some things that were kind of scaring him, and. Sometimes he'll just freak out for no reason, and once he watches it, he's fine. So I think if we watched it in the house and he saw it completely through, I think he would be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Crichton got upset. I would jump ahead a little. Crichton got upset after Groot supposedly sacrifices himself.
Right. Which is anybody who knows anything about Groot, he doesn't need.
He's come back countless times. Yeah. And Crichton's like, "Well, where's Groot at, Daddy?" And I'm like, "He's there. He's in pieces. Rocket's got to put him back together." In a few seconds. But he's okay, right? And I'm like, "Yeah, he's fine, he's fine." "Well, where is he then?" I'm like, he's coming, buddy.
Just get away, you'll see it, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's the most upset he was.
Okay.
But he loved it. He's been going around now, because I'm taller than him, because I'm an adult.
And are you guys Rocket and Groot, is that what it is?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
"I'm Rocket Raccoon! You know who you are, Daddy? You are Groot!"
if you guys start doing dressing up like this for Halloween this year, it's going to be freaking adorable, dude. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Rafi's already gone out and bought our bat costumes, but we should. I should try to talk her into it.
Yeah. And you know what's really cool is that, I mean, they sell a decent amount of toys for the Guardians right now, too.
Most of them look like crap.
Even you don't like the 12-inch size figure ones, too?
I don't know. Anything that large and worth that much money, that's not really a toy I'm going to give a 4-year-old.
It's only 10 bucks.
Is it only 10? I thought it was.
Yeah, because they're like bucks. think extremely generic, like G.I. Joe, like old school, you know, like
Yeah.
Cuz we bought Ethan my aunt got him an Iron Man one, like I think Titan makes them, I think is what it's called. And he like moves like his legs move and his arms move. There's no bending there, and his head turns. That's it. Like,
oh, that's it? Okay.
Yeah. I was at
Second and Charles, and they had like the entire lineup there.
Oh, okay.
And it was like Rocket was, I don't know, 4 inches tall or whatever. And I think it was $14.99. Like he had a gun that shot a missile, and
I think go to one of the bigger retailer places, because like Target had it for like 10 or 11 bucks. It was a bad price. And they had I think the only two that I've actually seen there, though, are Rocket, which, yeah, they make him half the size, but his gun is massive, you know what I mean? And then also Star-Lord.
Okay.
I thought I lost you there for a second. Sorry.
No. I'm good. I'm just being quiet, letting you talk.
No, you're good. But I love the movie. Like it was so fun to watch it. And when people now I kind of get to a point where people say, well, this is our Star Wars. I understand kind of what they mean by that. I don't think like nothing's gonna nearly impact me like Star Wars did when I was, you know, 3 years old. You know, like
Right. Movies
don't impact me like that unless there's more of an emotional connection to it now or something like that, and something sentimental. But like Guardians made me feel like a kid going to see a fun movie in the theater again.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think that's the big thing, fun. My boss at my current job, he went and seen it based on mine and a guy I work with, 28-year-old guy, does graphics. We both really enjoyed it. We're talking about it, kind of recommended it to him. He went and seen it. He did not care much for it.
What?
Because he said it was just kind of silly fun.
Man, some people really like, and I like a dark movie, but I gotta, like, there's certain times when, like,
when you need a dark movie. Well, I thought Guardians had emotional weight to it.
With the thing with his mom, like there's like
the and Rocket Raccoon, for God's sake, he gets drunk and he's like, "Do you think I wanted to be ripped apart and put back together again all these times?" People call me vermin, and I mean, and Drax and his family. I mean,
Gamora being raised to be a killer, like she didn't have a choice in it. You know what I mean? Things like that. Yeah,
there are some heavy moments in it, but I don't know.
Bleeding Cool ran this thing about like. The disturbing thing nobody realizes about Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was all about when you go to the collector and he's has all those experiments in the cages and everything like that, and he said it's like nobody gave a shit about it. And I'm like, I think it was more of the lines of like nobody said anything because they wanted to leave that place as fast as they possibly could because they had this object, they wanted to get rid of it, and they wanted to leave as fast as they could and not have to deal with anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and no one was like banging on the sides of the cages asking to be let loose or anything.
Right.
And what we saw, what looked to me like a clone of his assistant, like the previous version of his assistant locked up, and a Chitauri, which
– it's a Skrull.
Well, no, in the cinematic universe.
They say Kree 15 times in the first hour of that movie.
They're somehow allowed to.
I think they don't care.
They're like, go ahead, Sony, or was it Fox?
They're like, we got Disney money. What are you going to do?
They said Kree in one of the, in the last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I watched.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man. But anyways, going back to the movie. Man, I thought all the characters were really great too. Like the one thing, and I'll get into talking about starting to read the DNA stuff. Go that leads into the Guardians comic that got everything started here. The only person that I think could have been interchanged with, I think anybody, was Drax. Like I don't think Dave Bautista necessarily like had to be like there. You look at certain people and you're like, okay, you were a really good fit for this. You really Dave Bautista was just. like you're like, well, you're a big wrestler and you fit the build of what we want more so.
Well, beyond Batista being cast as Drax, Drax the character is not essential.
No, and he's very.
He was not one of the original. I can't say original, like, oh, it's a 70s version. He was not one of the, you know, DNA Annihilation Guardians either.
But he was the main part of Annihilation, like the first one, with Nova and Star-Lord and everything. Drax
I'm talking about, like, the Star-Lord miniseries where they all met in, like, the Kree prison.
Yeah, because it was, and I just read that, and that's kind of what I
wanted to talk Ambush about. Bug and the Cosmic Madonna and
Mantis. Mantis was great too. I like it a lot. The thing that was really interesting about that, and this is kind of one of the things I wanted to bring up, Groot talks in that Star-Lord's miniseries.
Yeah,
When does he become just the I am Groot thing?
I think after he sacrifices himself one time, he comes back
and he can't talk.
And then it's like, okay, only certain people could understand him before. And you as the reader could understand him, but not all the characters could.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, but in the Guardians series, like, is that all he says is, I am Groot?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it becomes a thing about, you know, certain characters can understand him and certain characters can't.
Rocket, pretty much, is like one of the very few who can, so.
Yeah.
When does the Star-Lord mask, the thing behind his ears and form around his face, when does that come into play? Or is that a new thing?
That's not a new thing. That's one of the the blue and white uniforms that they're given by the Kree.
Well, he has the helmet that he puts on, but the mask doesn't go behind his ears or anything.
Oh, like no, okay. In the Guardian series, like, he stops wearing the dome part of it on the top.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's never where his hair's flowing out.
Okay.
Because that's asinine in space.
Right.
That in the movie, I was like, hey, he takes the mask off, and yeah, he gets icicles on him, but what about his fucking hands? You know?
Yeah.
And, like, the tip of my dick would get so cold, it would just shatter in space, I think.
You don't understand that his suit is meant to hold in air, okay? You don't know that.
Whatever.
Okay?
That's bullshit.
I agree. You're right. It's,
but, yeah.
Well, even before, but they do kind of set it up that. And where Rocket says, you won't last more than 10 seconds out there or something like that before he even jumps out of the spaceship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's to some degree set up, but that was probably one of the – but it's a movie. You know what I mean? That's something – but that whole thing sets up the fact that this guy is not just a selfish prick. You know what I mean? So,
right. But in the comics – now you said you just went back and read them.
I'm in the middle of Annihilation Quest Conquest right now.
He's not really a nice guy in the comics, is he?
No, I love just the dry responses that he gives. Giffen has a really good knack for writing that, and I think they did a really good. He does a really good job of forming that team together too.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I read the first. You know, I read the Annihilation Conquest prologue, which I thought was really good. I was like, why does Star-Lord have this cybernetic eye? I didn't understand that. But and then they give you a little more explanation about that. And then I read the Quasar miniseries, which I'm like, well, this is okay. You know, they have these Quasar and then the Moon Dragon. You know, they're these I guess they're lesbian lovers, right? You know,
yeah, they are.
And then which not a bothersome whatsoever by any means. That was an okay series though. It was pretty good. But then the Star-Lord one was just. God, it was so fun, and just like that, them being on the run on the Kree planet away from the, I can't think of the name of the robots now.
Phalanx?
Phalanx? I don't
know. Phalanx? I don't know, whatever.
The Phalanx, yeah, they're just a bunch of pricks. but no, that was such four issues, and man, there's so much good story in those four issues. Like, as soon as I read that, I'm like, well, I know why Bruce got hooked on this now really quick. And you like Giffen a lot anyways, don't you?
Oh, yeah, and the art in that. Was it Timothy Green III?
Second or whatever.
Second, yeah.
Really good. Yeah, it was really good. And now I'm on Wraith, the one that – I don't know the name of the writer. He's got three names or something. And Kyle Hotz is doing the artwork. And that's interesting. I can't wait to get to Conquest now.
There are so many like little side series that – Some of them play out later on, some of them don't.
Right.
The Quasar Moon Dragon thing comes back into play in Guardians.
I figured as much, so. Yeah. I just can't wait to see, you know, because I'm reading Nova along with it too, and I think DNA writes Nova really well.
Yeah.
And Sean Chen's artwork is pretty good in it.
Rich Rider's still dead.
In the comics? Oh, you mean like currently?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Sam Alexander or whatever it is.
Some kid, okay.
The guy Gary – who's the guy who's writing – or no, is it Humphreys is writing it now or is it still
– Sam Humphreys.
Yeah, Gary Dugan was writing it, the guy who was co-writing Deadpool with Brian Posehn. And now he wrote it after Loeb left, and then now Sam Humphreys, which is a good fit because he's writing the Star-Lord series now too. So. Which I haven't checked out yet, but I mean, I read the first.
I haven't, just out of just protest and principle.
Well, it's not Bendis, so I wonder if Bendis will have to change stuff about how his characters are portrayed because people are going to be like, "Look, this isn't the Guardians, man."
Right, and the father thing is going to be thrown completely out the window. James Gunn said it's not the same as the comic.
Okay, yeah, so that's it. Which is good because he's like what the leader of
The Spartan X planet or whatever the hell
whatever
that
the
is.
Crap that is. Like,
that makes no sense to me. And he's a king or something.
He's like, oh, they're the most dominant force. Where the hell have they been for the past 60 years?
Yeah,
in the
Marvel never universe? Heard of them.
Never heard of them. And that's the thing that's really I know we're taking up some time right now, but that's making me mad now.
Me and Sean Bourne used to always joke about Wolverine because it's like every villain who shows up in an issue of Wolverine, they have a history with him.
It's like, yeah, where was your history?
Exactly.
Because it existed. There's a lot of people who retcon and, you know, start off with, well, I actually knew him before he did this, you know. And sometimes it can be done well. But, yeah, Wolverine, it's always like that because his past is mysterious and everything. But, yeah. Man, Star-Lord is just in the – it's 2008, man. That was when the Guardian series started. He's in the very front of your consciousness if you're a fan of it. And you completely just said, by the way – If you wanted to say his dad was an alien, you know, like kind of like they're doing in the movie, where his dad was an alien and his mom was an Earth woman or something like that, that's fine. But man, don't just make up a intergalactic group that is all of a sudden on a council with the Kree and the Skrulls and everything else. Like they've been around and they fought the Fantastic Four or something before back in the day, because that's what you make it sound like, and it's not. If you wanted to make it like, oh, he's an upcoming dominant, you know, a race that's really aggressive and they're really, you know, like a young America or something like that.
You could have done that.
But, man, you make it sound like for the Shi'ar is afraid of this group or something like that.
Even though no one has ever talked about him. Well, that's what makes him so deadly.
Yeah, but now I understand why the Bendis run really upsets you.
Because it's wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
Because everything in it. Is wrong. It blows my mind. I remember when it first came out, people were like, oh, you just don't like Bendis. Every single thing he's writing runs counter to all the stories that came before regarding Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's really frustrating about it is, honestly, this is exactly what happened. DNA made this thing hot. You know what I mean? And when I say hot in the comic book world, I mean, their books were probably averaging anywhere from 40 to 60. It was a mid-seller, but it got
canceled.
It got canceled, but the thing that made it happen to a movie, though. You know what I mean? Like, their representations of these characters across all these miniseries, all these main series, whatever it is. These characters became relevant again, just like the Winter Soldier did from Brubaker. These all became – or, you know, Bucky. These all became relevant again because a team or whatever made it happen. And then they're like, we're going to make a movie of it. And I guarantee it, because of Bendis and his stroke in the company, you know what I mean? He just came up and said, look – I don't know if you look around or anything, but I literally am your hottest writer. So I'm going to take over Guardians since that's the next big movie. And they're like, well, I'm going to take over Guardians of the Galaxy. It's going to be a top 20 book or whatever.
Yeah, why would you not call DNA back in?
I don't know.
Guys, everything you did was incredibly successful. We're getting ready to make like $1 billion off of this.
Right.
Toys, cartoons, sheets, and all that. The fucking soundtrack. We don't want you involved.
A cartoon now. It's getting a cartoon.
Yeah.
Bruce, you can watch a Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon in the next year.
Well, but what will it be about?
I don't know, but it'll probably be co-produced by Bendis or something like that. So
he'll be an executive producer. I think he is on the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah, he is, and the Avengers one. And you know what? Ethan likes the Avengers or the Spider-Man one. It's okay. I watch it occasionally. So
I did not care much for the Rhino in that.
I haven't even seen one with him yet. So.
Okay, we should call.
Yeah, definitely go. But I as much as Bruce and Joe recommended the Guardians, I'm 100% behind it with 95% of America right now. So
and the comics it was based on.
Yep, and yeah, definitely read Annihilation, read Annihilation Conquest, read all the DNA stuff, and then tell Bendis you stop writing.
Woo! Good night, everybody.
Good night.